4. Acts chapter 4 will be the text of our study. This sermon has been on the docket for some time. We've been attempting to preach it for a couple of weeks now, but because of sickness and because of cancellation of services, we're finally getting to it, and that's going to allow us to finally finish this series on collective worship. I've entitled this study, The Privilege of Prayer. And as has already been stated by Brother Zangaro, that we are speaking to God when we pray. I found a cute story about a woman who had a 4-year-old daughter. She said, "I always would pray with my daughter before she went to sleep. One night she volunteered to pray. She prayed and prayed and prayed. And her voice was getting softer and softer and softer, until only her lips were moving, and then she said, 'Amen.'" I said, "Honey, I didn't hear a word that you said." She answered, "Mama, I wasn't talking to you." We are talking to God whenever we pray. But there is a very real sense in which God wants us to pray together. And so when we have collective prayer, we are speaking to God, but we are also letting others pray with us. And as an expedient, we have men who come up and lead the prayers, who direct our minds as we come together to pray. That's why we use the Hebrew word and we use the Greek transliteration and even into English, amen, 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 because what we are saying is, this is now my prayer. We are concluding with that phrase to say, what has been prayed, I have prayed, and I am making it my own. We are all praying to God. And thus, like the church in Acts chapter 4, we are raising up one voice to God. I'd like us to read this entire text together. Acts chapter 4, we're going to begin reading in verse number 24. Acts chapter 4 and verse 24. Note the context is that the disciples have been released, and now they come back to their companions. And when they heard what God had done, when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, "O Lord, it is you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said, 'Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence, while you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Here is a story of people who prayed and God confirmed and acted on their prayer. This is a powerful story. When we pray together, we can have, at least at some level, the same results. We can praise God. We can ask God, and God will listen. This morning, what we're going to do is break this sermon down into parts, and then we're going to have prayers that go along with that. The elders, and then I will conclude with prayers I usually do, will lead us in these prayers so that we can do the same thing that these disciples did in Acts chapter 4. Why is prayer a privilege? Number one, because it allows the church to revere together. If you have your message notes, you might want to take those out and jot down some things as we go through. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 24, did we not note that they addressed God? "O Lord, it is you who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them." Now, your Bible probably indicates that this is quotation from the Old Testament. And so they were praying an Old Testament prayer, if you will, of praise to God. They addressed God for who he was. It gives us an opportunity when we pray to pray praise to God. As we saw in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, that as you talk about the collective devotion of the disciples, They gave themselves to several acts of worship, several acts of praise. That is, they dedicated themselves to the teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. Prayer is an opportunity for us to worship God. It's an opportunity for us to praise Him. And just looking at a couple of the designations that they apply to God, we note that they call God, God. They recognize that He is above them. He is deity. He is supreme. But they also address Him as Lord. And this isn't the common word for Lord that is used throughout the New Testament, that is used of Jesus more often than not, that is a translation, or at least is used in translation, of the Old Testament name Yahweh. This is the word from which we get despot. And it carries that idea of an absolute ruler, an absolute master. They are addressing God as the one who is in control. That is a word of praise. To say God is in control is to acknowledge that we are subservient to Him. And not only do they call Him God and do they call Him Lord, but they acknowledge Him as Creator. They call Him the Maker of all things. He is what caused all things to be. He is the uncaused cause. No one made God, but He made everything else. And when we start calling God for who He is and for what He has done, we are praising God. We are worshiping God. And we see in the examples of the disciples, we can do that through prayer. I think the religious world sometimes gets this idea that praise is what you do when you sing or in their minds play. But praise can be done in many different ways. And as we see in the Bible, it is done by confessing who God is and what He has done. We acknowledge God as our God. We acknowledge God as our Lord. We acknowledge God as our Creator. And as we're going to see throughout this prayer, we praise Him for His providence, His special acts in our life. At this time, we are going to pray a prayer of praise, being led by our brother Don Williams.
Please bow with me. Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, You are the God of our salvation. We know that You can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. You are worthy to be praised, for You have given us every good gift and every perfect gift, and You sent Your Son, Your indescribable gift, to die for us, showering us with Your grace and mercy and allowing us to know Your great love for us by knowing Jesus, who demonstrated for us what true love really is. And You gave us the ability to be called Your children by giving us Your inspired word to lead us to spiritual life and a home with You forever in heaven. You created a plan that never could have entered our minds and our imaginations. We could never have known that love could be so deep and so wide and so strong and never ending, and that Your wisdom would be so great as to establish the church that Jesus would ultimately die for, to redeem us from sin and allow us to be part of the heavenly realm, preparing us to be able to go to heaven, our eternal home that You prepared for us. We praise You for everything that You have done and everything that You continue to do. And it's in Christ's name that we pray this. Amen.
Not only is prayer a privilege because it allows us to praise or revere God together, but we see an example in this prayer that it allows us to reflect together. Revere and reflect. We can think about all the things that God has done. Remembrance is a key theme throughout the Old and the New Testaments. That we remember God, and He remembers us, and He remembers the covenant. And in prayer, what we can do is we can think about what God has done. I often refer to meditation as a lost art in our culture. That we don't think about what God has done enough. We think about what we're doing and what we're going to do. But sometimes we need to think, often we need to think, what God is doing and what he will do and what he has done to prove that he is faithful in what he is going to do. I like the way one author said, it is better to pray over the Bible than to brood over the self. This is something that I had to get a hold of several years ago, because sometimes I would think whenever certain brothers would lead prayers that prayed from the Bible that it sounded too preachy or too showy. And as I began to mature in my faith, I realized that many of the prayers that we see in the Bible are Scripture. They are quoting from Scripture. And over again, what we see here in this prayer is that they are quoting Scripture in their prayer. Why? Because they're thinking about what God has done. They're thinking about the Scriptures that tell them about what God has done. They quote from the Old Testament, they quote from the Psalm, in order to say, what you were talking about then has been fulfilled in Jesus and continues to be fulfilled in us. And it says, that you've got the people of God and the Gentiles working against the Messiah. And they're still working against the Messiah because they are the representatives of him. But they are remembering what God has done, remembering what God has prophesied, and applying it to their own situation. I think this is an important lesson for us, that we can reflect on God's word. We can think about what God has said. We can also begin to move forward and think about God's Son. As we read in verses 27 and 28, they then begin to think about Jesus, who is the servant, what Pontius Pilate and the Jews did to him. It gives us an opportunity to reflect on God's power. Verse 28, they've already acknowledged him as Lord, and now they are thinking about his power, and they also think about his purpose. You put this all together, and you start thinking about God's word, God's Son, God's power, and God's purpose in prayer. And what it does is takes the focus off of self and puts the focus on God and what he is doing. I think about the model prayer in Matthew chapter 6, it's alluded to in this morning's class. And I've written an article, and I've done some preaching on that before, on that prayer, and just looked at some of the examples. In that prayer, it seems that more often than not, the focus is on God in that prayer. And even when the focus is on self, it's on God's provision. And when it thinks about God's provision, very little is thought about God's physical provision, and more is thought about his spiritual provision. The focus of the prayer is on God and his spiritual protection and provision of his people. And here what we see is this church thinking about what God has said, what God has done, and what he is saying and doing now. Prayer is an opportunity to think back, to think in the present, and to think to the future, because God is the God of all these things. And so when we pray, it's not just an opportunity to ask. We'll talk about that in our next point. But it is also a time to think, to meditate. And so with that in mind, Brother Eric Brueggemann is going to lead us in a prayer of reflection.
Would you bow with me, please? Holy Father, you provide for us everything that we need, and we ask, what have you done for us? The simple answer, Father, is everything. You have given us everything that we need to pertain to life and godliness, as it says in your word. Father, you have given us a purpose to live. Father, as we remember what you have done for us, we can look back at the beginning of what your word said, and it said that you had created the heavens and the earth. You have created this universe for us to live in, to help to sustain our lives. You have created man in your image that we could try to live holy and blameless before you, that we could try to be mindful and thankful of what you and what you have done for us and what your Son has done for us, Father. And Father, we remember that as in the beginning man had sinned and had fallen from your grace, Father, that we see at the beginning that you had a plan of redemption, a plan that was willing and called for your Son that was ultimately going to be sent to this earth, Father, to live his life as an example. Father, we see in the Old Testament how that through the creation of your nation, and that we see your plan working out, and how you are faithful and just, and that how you keep your promises. Do you always keep a remnant faithful to you, Father? Father, we see that your servant David said, What is man that you are mindful of him? And it is such a humble thing to think about, that you are mindful of us, Father, that you think about us and that you care for us, Father. Father, we see your mindfulness and again, the sending of your Son, Father. He's willing to leave your side, to leave his privileges aside, to come down to this earth, to live his life as an example, Father. As we heard this morning, to preach and teach your kingdom, Father, about how we are to mold our lives and to shape our lives, Father, to be in the image of you, Father. Father, we remember what your Son had done for us, Father. He was willing to go to that cross, to give his life on that cruel, terrifying cross, Father, that ultimately, Father, was for redemption for us, Father. Because there's nothing that we can do or say that we can gain redemption, Father. It's through you and your Son and his sacrifice, Father, that we have redemption of our sins, Father. And Father, as we remember and think about what our purpose here and our work is here, it is to preach the kingdom. It is to spread your word. It is to be the salt and light of this world, Father, that we could take your word and be an example to those around us, that we could hopefully show you and your Son living in us, Father, as we go out into this world, that they could ask us and say, what is so different about you? And we could say, it's all because of you, what you have done for us, Father, that you have given us the will and the desire to follow your word, Father. Because, Father, you have promised us that if we remain faithful until the end of this life, Father, that you have a home, we have a home with you in heaven, Father, that we could share with you for all eternity, Father. If we live just for a brief moment or vapor on this earth, Father, as for you, Father, help us, Father, to remember the things that you have done for us and the things that you will do for us, Father, if we continue to remain faithful. Again, it's in your Son's precious name that we pray. Amen.
The church can revere together, reflect together. And as we see at the end of this prayer, the church can request together. Collective prayer gives us an opportunity to make appeals, to make requests to God. You know, we can over-focus to the point that we think, well, it's unspiritual of me to ask God for things, and whether they be physical or spiritual. And yet, the example we see is that many times, prayers would ask God. Why? Because he is the one who can provide. Whenever we start trying to get everything ourselves and we leave prayer as kind of a last resort, we've missed the point. Prayer, as has been said, should be the first priority and not the last resort for Christians. John Bunyan said, you can do more than pray after you've prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. Prayer is the first resort of the Christian. It's where we go, and then we move forward with our action. You see that the example of Nehemiah. That he prayed for months for an opportunity, and when the opportunity arose, he prayed a sentence prayer in his mind, and then he acted on that. What can we pray for? Well, there are many things which we can pray for, but we do see a couple of things here in verses 29 and 30 of our text. We see that we can pray for God's providence to be at work in our lives. Now, I think specifically here, they may be looking for the spiritual providence of God. But we also see even Jesus saying, give us this day our daily bread. Notice also the boldness there that Jesus puts that in the imperative. Give us this day our daily bread. We can have a very close and intimate and bold relationship with our God, keeping that under the heading of he is the Lord. We can ask for God's providence to be at work in our lives. We can also ask God to help us become what we need to be, that we will persevere. You think about the circumstances of the disciples here, that they're going through difficulties. They're getting pounded for their faith, and yet they're asking God not to take away the problems, but that they will persevere through the pain. You can see here that they ask God to help mold their character, to be what they needed to be. And they ask for God's power to be at work in them and through them. You see that they're asking for boldness to preach the message, and now they're asking God to confirm the message with the signs and the miracles. That fits well with Hebrews chapter 2, where he says that they went about preaching, and God confirmed with various signs, wonders, miracles, gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're asking God's power to be at work in their message. We can ask for God's power to be at work in us too. In fact, God's power is meant to work in us. And Ephesians chapter 1 says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead can be at work in us. And as has already been quoted, he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that is at work within us. God wants his power to be at work in us. And so he asks us to come to him, to ask for his providence, his perseverance, or for our perseverance, the molding of character, and for his power to be at work. Now we're going to see the response to this on God's part in just a moment. But before we do that, we're going to pray a prayer of request. And Brother Clinton Anderson is going to lead us in that prayer.
Our God and our Father, we humbly approach thee, Father, realizing that you are so powerful and so graceful, so full of grace and love that you sent your Son. Father, that you've translated us from, as we read in Colossians and as Paul prayed for those in Colossae, that you've translated us from the domain of darkness and into your Son's kingdom, knowing that we have that redemption of sin and this avenue of prayer that we can approach you and request those things. And Father, we pray so much for the care that you're providing for those that are ill of this number. And Father, we know that you can heal if that be your will. But Father, we pray most of all that you work through us, that you continue to guide us, that we might grow in knowledge of your Son and your will, and that we might strive to do those things that you would have us to do. Father, we pray that you, through your providence and through your care, that we might work in this community, that we might seek out those that are seeking your truth, that we might bring them that knowledge that lies in your Son in obedience to your gospel and obedience to him. Father, we recognize how powerful and how great you are. And Father, we pray that you continue to give us guidance, spiritual strength, that we might, when we have opportunity, speak as you would have us to speak, to live those lives that you would have us to live. And Father, we pray that you care for us, and that we care, that you care for this nation, that you might work, because we've seen it in your scripture. We've read about it, how you take the weak and the small and you make them mighty, and you accomplish all things because you control all things. And we know that the outcome will be for good. And Father, we ask that you guide this nation, that we might continue to have opportunity to be that light, to bring others to that knowledge of your word. And we know and have confidence that all good things come from you. And we're so thankful for this avenue of prayer that we can make these requests. And Father, we pray especially when we fail to do those things that you would have us to do, that we sin. And we pray that we repent from those things and we turn away, and we ask that you forgive us of those things. Strengthen us that we might continue to walk as you would have us to walk. As a congregation, may we always seek your truth and be a light to bring others to that knowledge of your Son. Work in us. Work for good. And it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
When we pray together, we can revere God together, reflect together, request together, and we can receive together. I think that's the powerful conclusion to this prayer, is that they received what they requested. We can be thankful. We can think about what God is doing, has done, and then we can respond back to Him as He has responded to us. There's a couple of things that I see in this story as you think about the idea of receiving together from verse 31. We see that God affirms His faithfulness when we pray to Him. He is going to answer, and He's going to answer in the best possible way. And He's going to grant His people's petitions. You know, this is a difficult thing to sometimes wrap our minds around because we as finite beings think it should be one way and then God acts in a completely different way. Just the other day, Emily was trying to explain to a 3-year-old that we should be asking God for the things that we would like to see happen, but realize that He's got a better plan in place and sometimes it doesn't match up with what we think it should be. Sometimes I think I speak generally of all religious people, we can sometimes treat new converts or implant in new converts' minds that if you're walking according to the will of God, you're going to get everything that you want. Some people teach that you become a Christian and you will get all the good things of life. That doesn't always happen, at least according to our definition. But God is always going to be faithful when we pray to Him, and He will always give us what we need in a situation. And what we need is for the best possible spiritual outcome. Another person said, my 8-year-old son came home from school with a stuffed animal he had won in class at a Valentine party. I said, how did that happen? Well, he explained, the teacher put all our names together and then picked one out. I said, I cheated though. I prayed. There is the faith of a child that when he prayed, God answered. When we pray, God answers. We can receive. Now, it may not be as visible as what it was for these disciples in Acts chapter 4, that they pray for boldness and God shakes the house. But when we pray, God is answering. We could go through an entire series of lessons on how God answers and how it sometimes doesn't match up with ours, but here's the point. God does answer. And He answers faithfully, and He answers according to His goodness. When we pray, God will answer. So when the church prays, we can receive our petitions together. And that should reaffirm our faith, shouldn't it? Because when we are praying hard about something, and then God happens to answer, comes through for us, we can be thankful. But even if He doesn't answer the way we want Him to, we can still be thankful because we received the right answer from God. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank You so much that You have given us opportunity to pray, that we can praise You, that we can think about what You've done, and we can make requests to You, knowing that You always give the best answer. Father, of the requests that we have made, we thank You for those that we have seen answered yes, but we also thank You for the ones we've seen answered no and not yet. Father, we pray that we will be grateful and that we will be thankful that we receive the best answer we can from You. Help us never to be discouraged to pray, knowing that we will get a faithful answer from You. Thank You for being the God that You are, for giving us good things. We thank You for that, and we hope in the future to always be mindful of it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I hope that we appreciate prayer. I think we can always do better at coming to a greater appreciation for how God allows us to communicate to Him, that He speaks to us and gives us an opportunity to speak to Him. God is at work, and He is powerful, and He loves us. Now, He loves us so much that He gave His Son so that we could come into right relationship with Him. For those of us that are Christians, we can pray in confidence because we know that He listens and that the Holy Spirit helps us as we pray. But if you're not a Christian, you don't have that line of communication. You don't have a good line of communication with God because you don't have the right relationship with God. Jesus came to make all of that right. If you will put your faith in Jesus and be buried with Him in baptism, you'll be forgiven of all your sins. You will be a child of God, and God listens to His children. As God's children, if we haven't been living the way we should, if we've been cutting ourselves off from God, or we've been trying to do it our own way, or being selfish, now is the time to make that right. We all fail. We all make mistakes. And God's word will convict us and help us to do better. And so if you need to respond to the Lord this morning, why don't you let us know how we can help? Come as we stand and as we sing.